This is probably the only home in Chicago in the wintertime there's a banana tree growing in the front room. I doubt if there's a second. That's the idea, or don't you attend this place. Okay. A lot to share on this topic. I hope we get to cover it all, that self-honesty topic. The inspiration for this topic largely comes from experience, that and principle as well, to go forward in spiritual life, there has to be, you have to be in touch with truth in the sense of, you know, what's out there. And but that's not going to happen unless there's the capacity to come in touch with truth that's inside here. At least a willingness. So self-honesty. Self-truth. So integrity. Another, was a side thought, but just, I'm sharing you with you what my inspiration was in selecting this topic. In general, generation after generation after generation, young people are often principle-based, and that which is really real. Like Ravindra Saruprabhu used to wear a t-shirt, defy the lie, you know, war on Maya, kind of like, you know, because it was during that he was given to him by some devotees who he was closely connected with, who were in the I can't even remember what the word was called at the time, you know, music groups that were, what's the term? Help me with this. You know, 108 and Shelter and those groups. Straight Edge, there we go, Straight Edge. Defy the lie, war on Maya. So like, speak the truth and be the truth and be the real deal. So that kind of, even when doing that, there's a whole lot of self-delusion involved. So how to chart your lives going out into the future so that the things that are placed before you as ideals, you can connect with it. So where is there dissonance between where I am and what those ideals are, even my own ideals? So self-delusion is the opposite of self-honesty. And it's very common. All types and sorts of people, materialists and spiritualists alike, self-deluding personalities. So how to be not in that category? There's a very nice verse that I wanted to use as a springboard to go off into this topic. Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text Number 4. The title of the chapter is Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. It's in this chapter that the Chaturshloki verses, the four essential verses of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam summarized in four verses, is found. So it's a very important chapter. In the chapter, it's Lord Brahma, having undergone penances, has the Supreme Lord disclose himself in full. It would make it a great animated video production. Here's Lord Brahma, four-headed Lord Brahma, sitting on a lotus flower in the middle of darkness in all directions. He's born from, it's called Atmabhu, self-born, or born from Paramatma, but no, without mother-father arrangement, just quite unique. And because he's, Prabhupada describes like this, because he was, his body is made of intelligence. His body isn't made like ours. His body is made of intelligence. So he was awarded a body like that because he's very intelligent and has negligible material attraction. So here's this super intelligent person that's born. The first thought that comes to him is, who am I? And for that matter, what am I supposed to do? And where am I? And what's going on? And what's it all about? And just darkness. So because he's very intelligent, he's first born. Looks at, he's seated on this seat, a lotus seat. So he considers, if I find where this seat comes from, they can tell where I came from. So he climbs down the stem. And he climbs down and climbs down, and it's because the stem is emanating from the body of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. It's a spiritual stem, and he can't find the end to it. As far as he climbs, down and down and down, there's no end to it. So he's not going to get there by his own, you know, figuring it out capacity, as brilliant as he is. And then he hears tapa, 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 like a riddle. But he gets it. He's supposed to perform tapa. So he climbs back up to the top of the lotus and sits and engages in his tapa. And his tapa, we find in Brahma Samhita, happens to be meditating on his mantra. And it's not like, you know, he's got anything else going on. It's very single-minded. Didn't have to worry about, you know, anything. There's nothing. No homework to do, or no emails to answer, no phone calls to make, or, you know, go get something to eat. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing. There's nothing. And besides, he's Lord Brahma. He's this intelligent being. He wants first things first. He wants to understand, who am I, before he starts doing something. So that's where this verse comes. It's the personality of Godhead who uttered these syllables, tapa, tapa, tapa. He understood, Brahma understood, that's coming from where I came from. Just as I came from, that sound is where I came from. Same source. So if I do what the source says, I'll get to where I came from. I'll understand. He's using his faculty of reason. We don't put to rest our faculty of reason, but using it properly for self-realization. So he does. Then comes this verse. So where it's going is, the Lord is so pleased. So pleased. In the middle of this darkness, he manifests the whole spiritual world. Right in front of the lotus flower upon which Lord Brahma is sitting. Great video, huh? There's the whole spiritual world. And it's not dark. All around is darkness, but everything in the spiritual world is self-luminous. And he follows the path into the spiritual world, and he finds himself coming before the word that's used as Yogpith, just as the birthplace of Mahaprabhu is also called Yogpith, the place of the Supreme Lord. And when he enters into that arena, there's the Supreme Lord, surrounded by, not alone, not a face in a cloud or something, he's surrounded by all of his transcendental associates who are simply engaged in serving him. The way that the Bhagavatam describes it is the 5 and the 16 and the 8 and the... just gives numbers, and then the purport Prabhupada explains 5 this and 8 that and 16 that, and all the Vedas personified glorifying the Supreme Lord. Very beautiful. And so he approaches the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord stands, because he was seated on his throne. And he stands and comes forward, approaching Lord Brahma as Lord Brahma is approaching him. And because the relationship between this particular Lord Brahma that's described here has a relationship of Sakya-rasa, the Lord extends his hand. And they shake hands. Where are you coming in from? And Brahma, the Lord says, you please me very much. Lord Brahma offers very beautiful prayers. The Lord says, you may ask for benediction. Brahma is very intelligent. He asked for more than one. He asked for certain questions be answered. That was one benediction. And he also asked for protection, which was also very intelligent. And the main protection is protection from false ego. That as he's doing some service for the Supreme Lord, he not think of himself as the doer of even service to the Lord. Please protect me from that pride that's connected with false ego. Please let me simply engage in service with purity. So now, then the Chaturshloki verses are spoken. In response to the questions he asked, he gives answers in those four essential verses. Shukadeva Goswami precedes those Chaturshloki verses with the Sanskrit phrase rahasyam, and Prabhupada translates that as confidential. And what's confidential? Well, because it's confidential, you're not supposed to know what it is because it's confidential. Not that kind of confidential. But devotional service is confidential. It's like the nearest thing to us. That's what confidential is. The real us, not these layers of what's not us. The layers of self-delusion. The layers of false ego. The layers of misinformation, misconception, and all things that lead us in the wrong direction. So the Lord says that I'm going to disclose this in such a way that you'll understand it. Something like Krishna says to Arjuna, because you're my dear friend, my devotee, I'm now going to express this most confidential knowledge to you. Or as Lord Chaitanya said to Sanatan Goswami, that as I explain things, you'll realize those things. Imagine if you heard Lord Chaitanya speak, and as he was speaking, you realized the fullness of everything that he said, just by his benediction that so be it. So what's the qualification that one needs to have that happen? It's in this verse 9.294, at least an important part of what that qualification is, and that qualification is self-honesty, or non-deceptive penance is how Prabhupada translates it. Here's the Sanskrit, Atma-tattva Vishuddhyartam Yad Aha Bhagavan Ritam Brahmane Darshayan Rupam Avyalika. There's our magical word, Avyalika. Avyalika Vrata. Avyalika is without any deceptive motive. Vratar Dhritam. So, translation, O King. The personality of Godhead, so this is Sukadev speaking to Maharaj Pariksit, the personality of Godhead being very much pleased with Lord Brahma because of his non-deceptive penance in Bhakti Yoga, presented his eternal and transcendental form before Lord Brahma. And that is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada discusses this word atma-tattva. Atma means self, knowledge of self, atma-tattva, the truth of the self, or knowledge of the self. And tattva has this import, just like pancha-tattva. It's not like something out there, it's something that's an essence. It's a truth, or a tattva that when one is in touch with atma-tattva, then one is self-realized. In other words, my point I'm making is not just information, it's realization. It implies realization. Atma-tattva vishuddhyartam. So, atma-tattva is realization of the self is possible when this Shuddha or Vishuddha, goodness unmixed with modes of nature, is what the soul is in contact with. The soul can be in contact with that when Krishna so chooses to present himself as he did with Brahma. As the verse says, this is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul. Where there's something on this side is there isn't any other motive. And then something on that side, Krishna's side, as he recognizes, oh, there isn't any other motive. Here I am. And he discloses himself. Non-deceptive penance, or without any deceptive motive. So, the material condition, There's categories of selfishness. Karma and Jnana are the two principal ones. Karma is activity, specifically it's fruit of activity, and Jnana is knowledge. What we want and what we do. do and what we want. So what we, how to get what we want. In modern education, largely, knowledge is how to get what you want. You know, so you intelligence, just like in King, the Purunjana story in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a King Prajinivari, where he's a devotee, but he's not this Avyalika time. He has material desire. He has strong material desire. And as a result, he engages in karmakanda rituals that fulfill his material desires. Although he's a devotee, he's this mixed, you know, strongly mixed devotee. So Narada decides, let me go hang out with King Prajinivari for a while, see what I can do. And he sees his condition, and so he decides, King Prajinivari is very respectful to Narada. Even Kamsa was respectful to Narada, so King Prajinivari was very respectful to Narada. And Narada was very pleased. And so, knowing what Narada did with Kamsa was very different than what he did with King Prajinivari, because he saw, you know, where Kamsa was at. So he just fired up Kamsa to be Kamsa-like. But with King Prajinivari, he induced him to give up his motivations for karma. And he did so by telling an allegory. In the Bhagavatam, there are very few allegories, but this is one of them, and it's Narada teaching the king he couldn't get the straight stuff, so he gave it to him indirect. And then he explained the indirect. He got so involved in the story, and when he was explaining the indirect, he realized it was all about him. The story is an allegorical story about once upon a time there was a king. And his name was Purunjan. And Purunjan, everything was great. Except he wanted a queen. And somehow it didn't happen. He couldn't find a suitable queen. And he looked here and looked there. And, you know, woe was me, I can't find a suitable queen. Do I do? So, finally, off in a garden was a beautiful woman bouncing a ball in the garden. And, you know, Cupid's arrow, that was his queen. And so in the explanation of the allegory, it's the living entity who wants to enjoy, and to enjoy you need material intelligence. That woman in the garden bouncing the ball and so on, description of her bodily features and graphic detail. He wanted to have her as his queen. So when Narada explains who that queen was, Purunjan is the conditioned soul wanting to enjoy in this foreign territory called the material world, because we don't belong in the material world. It's foreign territory. But then in this foreign territory, this desire to enjoy is there, and you have to have material intelligence to get that enjoyment program together. So that's what material intelligence is. Modern education is largely training up this feature or that feature of how to get your material enjoyment program together, so that you can enjoy. You know, gather up those things that can bring to the senses something that says, enjoyment. And the rest of the allegory describes the problems that came when he got together with his material intelligence. You know, the expectation of enjoyment didn't happen. Instead, something else happened. So many other something else has happened. But not enjoyment. So, Avyalika Vrata, what Brahma, when he underwent his sadhana, it wasn't just so that he could get answers to his questions, because he was, as described elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, to get the post of Brahma, one has to, for 100 lifetimes, flawlessly execute varna and ashram duties. Like, try going for a day. Try going for an hour. No mistakes. A lifetime? 100 lifetimes? Flawless execution of... And if there isn't somebody that meets that criterion, Krishna himself becomes Lord Brahma. It's such an important post. One has to be so qualified to be Lord Brahma. So that's Lord Brahma. And he's inquiring into, who am I? What is my duty? Without a material motive. Without a karma motive, like so that I can enjoy. Or without a gyan motive, so that I can know. Because gyan motives are often driven by I want to enjoy. How can I get some knowledge so that I can enjoy? It's just, you know, the means to fruitive activity, often, too often. And self-realization is something else. So that's very challenging in our polluted atmosphere to have that kind of aspiration. Because who thinks like that? Maybe some storybook character or somebody, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago when wasn't like it is today, but somebody today to have that. That's the mercy of Rupa Goswami and the process given by Rupa Goswami, and we're followers of Rupa Goswami, Rupanugas, is that even if you're not there, but if you hold that as a value, like understand that's the goal, and to reach that goal, I have to be prepared to let go of some things that are not going to get me there, are going to hold me back. And I have to accept some very powerful and effective, nice things that are going to help me get there. These are the first two principles of surrender mentioned in Padma Purana. Anukalyasya sankalpa pratikalyasya varjanam. To accept those things that are favorable, reject those things that are unfavorable. And even to have... So self-honesty is starting with, you know, things like, I know I got my filters, my information filters that says, this is favorable, and that's unfavorable. And how do I know? Because my filters tell me. This much gets through, because then that's what touches my heart, something that says, this is going to be beneficial for me. You know, so both the goal and the means to reach the goal, and, you know, what my own condition is. It's very challenging. So one has to... Rupa Goswami's teaching, this is my understanding of his teaching, is it at one's heart of hearts, if there's some sincere desire to reach that which is really real, and the means that's really real is accepted. I may be so far from the goal, but that counts as the topmost stage. It's the seed of the topmost stage. You know this verse from Rupa Goswami's teachings. It's like the verse of the entire Nectar devotion, Anyabhilasha Chashunyam, Jnana Karma Janavratam, Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana, Bhaktir Uttama. You know this verse? Anybody know this verse? No, you've heard it before. It's a very important verse. So Bhaktir Uttama. Uttama, topmost. The topmost form of bhakti is what Rupa Goswami just described, where in principle, I may not be there yet, and I know there's all these filters and all this contamination and all that other stuff, and I'm covered by that stuff. But inside, there's this desire to reach Krishna. And I'm acknowledging, I'm not going to forget that I'm covered by all this stuff. So, I'm going to consciously set aside karma and gyan, speculative knowledge, and fruitive activity. At least I'm going to strive like that. And when it does, reject that and accept anukulyena Krishna anushimana. Anukul means accepting. Anushilana. Anu means following. And shilana means the behavior or conduct. That which is of the perfected souls, in principle, accept and follow. My acceptance is by my following. Very important word. Term, anu, or follow. I explained it whenever it was, two nights ago, about Maharaj Parikshit and the Jata Karma, the birth ceremony that Maharaj Yudhisthira was performing. And he was hearing the astrological forecast of Maharaj Parikshit's life, and he was hearing so many nice things. But beneath all of those so many nice things, he wanted to know, is he going to follow his previous ancestors, those perfected souls that preceded him? Because when that following means there's an act of submission, and then careful here, just like in Bhagavad Gita 4:34, submission, pranipat, a inquisitive spirit, I want to know, just like Brahma, I want to know. I want to hear you say what I already have conviction in, then I can accept what you say. Not like that. I want the real deal. I want to know. Inquisitive spirit. And the third is the willingness to act accordingly. Like if it means changing something, I'm prepared because I want the real deal. At first, there's submission, inquisitiveness, and service in a humble mood, just carrying out that which, by the grace of Krishna, I've been able to understand because my filters are still out there. But at least that which I can understand, I'm going to implement. And even in the implementation, I know that there's going to be inconsistency because there's this other covering in my heart. But I'm going to keep pursuing it with faith that attaining Krishna is real. Krishna is real, and attaining Krishna is real, and the process is real, and the persons who are assisting me in this process, they're real. It's part of reality with a capital R. Krishna sent this facility to reach him. So avyalika, that non-deceptive penance is where there isn't some other motive. That's, you know, at least there isn't some other motive in the heart of hearts. A real, sincere desire. Although, I'm covered. I'm with it doesn't it certainly takes a degree of humility to say I'm covered. It also takes self-honesty to say I'm covered. Like I received this as an example, just fresh as of yesterday. Someone wrote to me, and they were just describing something that they were going through, and asking, you know, could I help address that something they were going through? And then the second part was, as I'm writing, I'm recognizing that I have this expectation. They didn't describe what the expectation, but one can imagine, you know, pat on the head or, you know, some encouragement. And as I'm writing, I'm realizing that this is, I shouldn't have that. I know it will come, but still there's this buzz going on, this expectation. And that makes me uncomfortable. It's almost like, either are you real or am I real, or, you know, is this relationship real? So there's an expectation rather than it just is. And I complimented him. I didn't say I'm going to be teaching, I'm going to mention this in my discussion, but I was thinking it's right on the topic of self-honesty. Because the position of Yulika Vrata is there isn't some expectation. Some motivation. I'm going to do this because I'm going to get that. That's business. I'll do this and you do that. We have a contract. And devotional service with Krishna, there's no contract. It's unconditional. At least, we should strive for that, even though we have our conditions. We have our expectations. We have our desires that we want fulfilled, and we have our knowledge of how we can get our desires fulfilled. And we're going along with the conditioned life program into the realm of devotional service, thinking I can get what I want. I know how to get what I want. I'm a good student. I know how to get what I want. I've always got what I want. Well, most of the time I get what I want. I know how to get what I want. And now I'm taking that mentality into the arena of devotional service. And perhaps not even knowing that that's what I'm doing, you know, with the self-delusion program. So in one sense, the bar is high. You know, to get over that high bar, it's maybe too challenging. But I want to emphasize the point that Rupa Goswami, his teaching is that not that one has to get over the bar, but aspire for that kind of life. The life that I choose to chalk out for myself is where I aspire for that, although I'm not there. Like this nice expression. It was really wonderful what the devotee was saying. So simple. Just acknowledging I've got this expectation. And having that expectation, I don't feel right about. Because I know there's going to be reciprocation. I don't need to, like, carry that. But I'm just sharing it with you. I've got this expectation. So, because part of getting rid of that which is impeding our progress in Krishna consciousness is recognizing there's something impeding our Krishna consciousness. It's one of the stages of purification. It's one of the initial stages of purification. It's recognizing, just like, you know, talking to people about becoming vegetarian, for example. People may say, well, what's the problem? Like I had this discussion last night with somebody about eggs. Why you don't eat eggs? And I gave an answer, I'll share with you the answer, but at first I'll make the point. Gave the answer, and it was, a stream of yeah buts. And it ended up with, well, we're just going around in circles, so, you can decide what you want to do. I said, you're right. I'm just, don't want to surrender. Or, it was a third party. I'm dealing with people that just don't want to surrender. Okay. Then just be honest that I don't want to surrender. But, are we, that the self-honesty is, when we hear something about pure devotional service, that's very inspiring, we can hold that as a value, recognize I'm not there, and I've got other things going on, but I'm not envious of that value. I hold that value as my value. And let me take measurable, doable, sustainable steps to reach that standard. We'll call it purity. Pure devotional service, just purity. That's our standard. That's my standard. And I like that standard. And by following this process, if I can come to that standard of purity, then I'll be protected. I won't have to think about, what's in it for me, because I'll be protected. With yoga kshema bahamyam, Krishna knows what I need. Krishna knows what I have, Krishna knows what I need, and Krishna will... All I have to worry about is serving Krishna with purity. So that's the standard that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was appreciating, was there in Lord Brahma. So that's Abhyulika, the other word is Vrata, vow. Now, the application of the word Vrata in religious circles is the connotation. People may have some other kind of vow. Take this vow that I'm going to get revenge for something. Take this vow that, I want to make so much money during the course of my life or something. I want to try to win the gold medal for something. So, in religious matters, it's standing by your word. To your word represents truth, and you abide by truth. Even some current comes along, say a strong wind comes along, you're in a boat, and a strong wind comes along, and it fills the sails, and you're way off from where you were. But off in the distance is this light, and you just keep moving towards the light. That's Vrata. Because you don't change what that principle is that you decide yourself that you're going to live by, and that guides your life. You just stick by it. And get you back on course so that you can reach that position. And each of us has some kind of values and things that we do to help meet those values. Maybe it's school related, maybe it's family related, maybe it's personal related, maybe it's internal, maybe it's external. Some value that we hold that is important to us, and we make some determination, okay, I'm going to do this. So like marriage vows or initiation vows are common within our ISKCON context, or just even your day to day, just a vow that I'll complete something. and the non-deceptive, put those two together, the non-deceptive part is, what's the motive? It's two things, the objective and the fuel in your tank to get there. You know, what's the motive to get you there? And if as followers of the Bhagavatam, or followers of Rupa Goswami, or followers of Srila Prabhupada and his teachings, it's to receive this gift that Lord Chaitanya came to give us, to deliver. It's love for Krishna. Everything that we do revolves around that. Everything connects to that. And it's connectable. And if it's not connectable, then we do without it. If eggs are not connectable, we do without it. That was the argument that I gave to the, or the response that I gave to this young man. Actually, I'll say it. I heard this from a woman when she was asked in a public forum, why don't you eat eggs? It was a two-part answer. She said, do you know what the monthly discharge from a woman is? He said, yeah. He said, would you eat that? And now think of what a hen is. That's what an unfertilized egg is. Are you going to eat that? Or say it stronger. Are you going to offer that to God? So that's why we don't. We're not going to offer that to God. You give me all your arguments about protein that you like. We're not going to offer that to God. Yeah, but... Is that okay? You ask why we don't eat eggs. That's why we don't eat eggs. Where's say that Bhagavad Gita? You can't eat eggs. And we offer foods in the mode of goodness to God, and that's not something in the mode of goodness. I'm sorry. It's I just couldn't. Should I offer to your mother? You know, I'm certainly not going to offer to God. Just not going to do it. Not in the mode of goodness. So there's foods in the mode of goodness and foods in the mode of things, items that some people think is food and passion and ignorance. And it's not in the food, it's not an item in the mode of goodness. We can't offer it to God, so it's not food for us. So, the goal and what's in our heart. So, self-honesty is what's in our heart, and then the self-honesty it can be also, do we really want that goal? Or are we comfortable with something that's other than that goal? And not all of you assembled here, but most of you assembled here, are growing up in families that parents have accepted that goal. Some of us, our parents haven't accepted that goal. And for us, it's, is this what we want? So in your case, where you're growing up in families where your parents accept the goal, it's still something that you have to personally accept. Of course, you want to please your parents, and your parents want you to please them. But as you grow and go off to a more independent life in college and afterwards, if not now, decisions are going to be made. What do I want? Do I want such a lofty goal? And if you want such, if you clearly identify the goal, honest with yourself, that goal is something so wonderful. I mean, even to know that such a goal, as clearly defined as the Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's teachings make it for us, we're so fortunate just even to know that such a goal is so clear. And I want that goal. Although I'm very far from that goal. then you can, then the self-honesty is to go through those vratas, or those penances, and the activities where you're choosing yes to this and no to that on the basis of reaching the goal. And they're all steps to reach the goal. Because the current of modern society is certainly going a different direction, the opposite direction, away from that goal. All around the world, not just, you know, in Naperville, or not just in America, all around the world. Rushing rapidly away from that goal, towards chaos, Kali, quarrel, confusion. When the commitment, we were discussing this in the car on the way over, how to help people come to the stage where they can make a commitment to reach that goal, has to be preceded by your own commitment to reach that goal. And then your commitment to that person to help them reach that goal. But those two things aren't going to happen without your own commitment. And we'd say it the other way. If you recognize that someone or a group of someone's are making that commitment to you, that if you so desire to help you reach that goal, that can help you make the commitment. I'm not alone. Besides, I like fellowship and companionship. I like the goal. And the fellowship and the sangha that is heading towards that goal, let's go. It can help one make such a commitment. But it's a very personal matter, making the commitment and receiving the commitment from others to help you reach that goal. It's very personal. I'll say it the other way around. If it's groupthink, it's not self-honesty. You follow? As close as you may have another friend that's desiring that goal as you are, or as, you know, we say, as I am, I have a friend. But still, that personal commitment must be there. And it helps to have a friend who's going in that same direction. It's still very personal. And it's not just encouraging or comforting, but it's in fact necessary to know or to receive the commitment from those who are committed to help you get there. That's Krishna's system. Krishna's system is we can't get there just based on our commitment. Although our commitment is necessary, we require Krishna's representatives to and take shelter of them through that medium. Then Krishna's happiness is there. And in Brahma's case, there wasn't a third person. In Narada's case, there was. It was Brahma. And when that option is there, he simply wanted to please his father. Or Prahlad Maharaja's case, he simply wanted to please Narada. When Lord Nrsingadeva asked him, take a benediction. You please me so much. You've been through so much difficulty, and you've maintained complete faithfulness in me. You please me so much, I want you to take a benediction. His first benediction is save my father. Forgive my father for all of his vicious deeds. And the answer was, it's already done. Because you're his son, it's already taken care of. So, say something else. So his another something else was, I just want Narada's association again so I can know how to serve you. And because Narada is so compassionate, I know that the release of all the suffering living entities, it's not I want to go back to the spiritual world without all those suffering living entities being released from their suffering. I don't want to go alone like that. of compassion. But where does that, the effectiveness of that mood of compassion, of feelings of compassion, what empowers it? It's the empowerment of Prahlad being at the feet of Narada. So I started late because it took longer to get here than we calculated. So I think that's our introduction, and see if there's any discussion on this part so far. Yes, Jagat Ananda.
From what I heard from you, it seems that delusion is even more dangerous than illusion. Could you firstly clarify what's the difference between the two?
Self-delusion.
Yeah, self-delusion.
It's like a layer, it's more subtle, it's a layer below illusion. And we look at illusion through the filter of self-delusion. The illusory, we have this, Prabhupada has given us this phrase, the illusory energy. So the illusory energy makes something that's not real look real. It's like another one of the defects of the conditioned soul. One of the defects of the conditioned soul is, though, is cheating. Although I know I don't know, I carry on as if I know. Cheating. And it's a defect of all conditioned souls. And it's something that, as a devotee, that what our topic is that self-delusion needs to be rooted out. And when that self-delusion layer is addressed, then the illusory energy can't do its thing. It serves instead as an opportunity for service, instead of how it's acting on the others who are conditioned souls, who are self-deluded. One can move through the illusory energy, a pure devotee of the Lord who is not self-deluded, can move through the field of the material energy, the illusory energy, and just do varieties of service for Krishna. Over and over and over and over and endlessly. No whining and crying and complaining, just service. We will touch on this topic in other ways as the course of the time spent together. I'm eagerly looking forward to sharing how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sees this topic. Yes?
I want to know about this Avyalika Vrata. In terms of, are we to have an expectation for spiritual advancement?
Yes.
Okay, so such an expectation, can also lead to frustration. I mean, I'm asking, is it possible that it can also lead to frustration? Because at least we've experienced many times persons maybe taking out the process, not with this deep level of honesty, and not experiencing the type of advancement that was, like Prabhupada says, chant and be happy, and you start chanting, you still feel melancholy. And such an expectation can lead to frustration and maybe spiritual life. So how do we do it?
Well, we have to have proper standards to measure what advancement is. And there's certainly, so it's knowledge and faith, or faith and reason. So someone takes up the process. And if they do not discontinue in their, or let's say, slacken in their submission, then they'll experience purification. And that purification means coming closer to Krishna. Coming closer to Krishna means purification. In the course of coming closer to Krishna, there may be bumps in the road. Or using our japa retreat language, there may be hills, there may be valleys. The landscape doesn't have to be all flat. But even in those valleys, if one is faithful, one will feel purification coming even when I'm in a valley. While chanting or while serving or while living my life. It's not that Krishna has abandoned me or something like that. Or Krishna is far away. It's just, part of the material landscape. Part of the consequence of our having misused our free will a whole bunch before this moment. So I have to take responsibility for that. Because when it goes to the level of, say, feelings of separation from Krishna, where one may, like last night, Radha feeling separation from Krishna, that's not painful, that's ecstatic. That's a whole other, so that transcendental emotion is a whole other thing. The material, if I don't have the proper measuring sticks to measure what's it like when there's in the valley, is the process working, then due to lack of knowledge and lack of faith, I may turn the other direction. But if one has knowledge and faith, it's another ecstatic moment. I could share some example A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. There's so many examples of devotees that have had those moments, even just at our japa retreats. Because the holy name is purifying when one chants the holy name in that in very careful, intent way of cleansing the heart, stuff comes out. So that's ecstatic. It's like when there's an infection in the blood system and it manifests itself in the form of a boil. One thing to do is blow on the boil. And while you're blowing on the boil, the air passing over the boil, it doesn't hurt as much. Then you stop blowing and it hurts again. Or you lance the boil and a bunch of yucky stuff comes out. But the infections in the blood. You have to go to the blood level and purify the blood. Then there's no more boil. There's no more infection. So we have this, using the metaphor, we have this infection. Material consciousness. Our consciousness is pure. Okay, so now I'm taking up this process to get rid of material consciousness or the infection in the blood. And it's not happening right away. Because it didn't come to that stage right away either. I have to pay my dues for my misuse of free will. Contaminated consciousness is layers and layers and layers of it. And to get rid of through some of those layers, it sometimes looks like suffering. Anything else? Yes?
You were mentioning how if you're taking it, by association, you shouldn't just, go with the flow and make that your goal or something. But, if you're getting inspired by their goal and so you're like, okay, I want to change my... Is that self-honesty? You want to change your goal because you're seeing they're all happy with that goal?
I'm not sure what you said. Can you do it again? Well, let me say something in response first. In devotional service, we should regularly be hitting the refresh button. Meaning, what our sense of goal today, and then I undergo the process of devotional service and some purification happens, I'll have a better perspective on what the goal is after that. Let's hit the refresh button. Now, let's take a look again. What's the goal? And do I really want to achieve it? Both. And then reset the goal and reset my commitment to achieve it. And proceed in the process of purification. Some time passes. Hit the refresh button. Does that address your question? No.
You were saying we shouldn't just follow the goal of our soul. We have to be self-honest and look inside.
Okay. Well, that message is anti-groupthink. That doesn't mean I don't share with others. I should share with others. But the point is, it's not just, okay, on the strength of their commitment, I'll just tag along. My light's not on. I'm just tagging along. I'm saying, make sure the light's on. Like, this is, you know, it's resonating. And I'm moving with that resonance. Not just, you know, somebody else is resonating and I'm just tagging along. Be introspective. Take responsibility. There's some social, interpersonal responsibility, but what's inside? And regularly review what's inside. It's healthy. It's not dangerous. Recommend it. So, in the socialization process, supposing there's somebody, I have a number of friends, and some are advancing more, some are kind of staying the same, and you know, I'm in another position. So, my advancement can be enhanced by others also advancing, but I have to take responsibility for my advancement. So, look inside. Introspection. And then be really clear. Okay. It was a deliberate choice that the topic that Krishnasmarana would speak about was peer association, and that I would speak about, I chose the topic, self-honesty. One certainly connects with the other. Through peer association, they can help us be self-honest rather than, you know, being cosmetic, but being real, because in close association with others, they can help point out to us how we may be able to point out to us, if we're willing to let them, that we could, you know, be more attentive to something and thus be in better position. And same way, if we're self-honest, we're better peer association for others. And we have, one enhances the other, is the point. They're interconnected. Because we're social beings. But as social beings, where friendship and valuable association should not abdicate my personal responsibility onto my advancement and my being a good member of the peer association part. Anything else? Okay. So, did we circulate the schedule? No. Okay, we have a schedule, and we're behind schedule. According to the schedule, what's on the schedule? It's printed up. It's Jagatananda's going to take some time now.
11 mark.
Okay, so now it's 10 after 11. And an hour and a half? Which is it? I can pull it out. However long it takes, Jagatananda's going to take some time with you all. And it's kind of like dyads or group interaction kinds of things along the same theme. Do I have it right? Okay. So I'm going to excuse myself and take breakfast. I didn't have breakfast yet. And you can take it from here. Give me a holler when you're done.
Any of the things that I can resonate with?
Blessings. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.